kind of been like this all day.
So I have nothing to look forward to. Ever.
No, I'm sorry. You don't.
Logan tried to decapitate me.
He beat me through Fahrenheit 451.
Easily. How long did it take you anyways?
5 hours and 45 minutes. Is that how long it was to read it?
This is a prequel to the Ender's Saga.
Wait, no it ain't.
According to the book on the top, it is.
Prequel to Foundation let me read is it. Not to Ender's Saga.
Oh, I'm not.
Ender's Saga
not
has Earth
Prelude.
In it.
No, prequels. Logan.
I'm not talking about Prelude. I was holding this up. Look above the monitor. Yeah,
that's prequel to Ender's Saga.
Don't talk to him like, duh. He just said
you
that.
Do.
Of course he knows. But that's because they don't know the stuff that I'm saying duh about.
And you live with these two?
Yes, I'm afraid so. Okay, I guess we can get this party started.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 28 of Comic Pop Library. Today, we're going to be reviewing Prelude to Foundation by Isaac Asimov and Big Windup, an anime series from distributors Funimation. At this time, let's take a short break for Dodge City Public Library. What? Oh, when we come back in.
The food affected his brain.
Yes, it did.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land. So, why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
And we are back. I am Richard, and with me tonight is...
Chris.
Matt.
April.
And Logan.
Matt doesn't know the order.
No, I don't, apparently. Usually he points at all of us. I'm sitting watching like, what, Richard?
It's going to be a laid-back
episode.
It's been
a long day.
Tsutomu.
I can
Mishima.
Try.
Tsutomu Mishima. I got it.
Tsutomu Mishima. I got this. Right. I got this. Mishima.
I like that one.
Mishima.
First up, we're going to be reviewing Big Windup, distributed by Funimation, directed by Tsutomu Mishima, and it's basically a... A 26-episode series, if I remember right.
Something
23
like
or 26-episode series. And this one's a change-up from what we've been doing.
No pun intended.
Big Windup is a Japanese show about America's pastime baseball. And
I think
it is
more of Japan's pastime.
Yeah,
well,
we
Japan,
might have created it, but it's their pastime.
Japan kicks our butt.
Japan has taken it on and has become very popular in Japan. It's one of their major sports, yes.
Our sport is football.
Yeah.
But it's always baseball has always been called
yes.
America's
pastime. So.
Yep.
Why? Like I said, I think now it's probably not as
yeah,
big.
Yeah, it's Japan's pastime by now.
America's one is football.
I guess we borrow stuff from them. They borrow stuff from us.
I would agree with
us.
Logan.
What's that?
Football.
Football is an American
heck
pastime.
Yeah.
You see the Super Bowl all the time. Do you ever see a Super Bowl for baseball?
Basketball.
Well, the World Series is pretty big right now.
Yeah, the World
Series. World
Series
going
they
on.
Have a different
boy, that'll
name.
Date this episode.
That's world. That is worldwide.
No.
Oh, a day.
We just call it the World Series.
I think the reason they call it World is because there's a team in Toronto.
Canada.
And is there another team in Canada?
Yeah, there's several teams in Canada, I think.
That play within the major
league. So it goes within North America.
Pretty much.
Right. But they don't play the Japanese or...
No.
That's because we know we'll get our butt kicked. Yeah. Like, we want to feel good at some point in this series, so we're not going to include the Japanese.
Those
we can
easily beat at it.
But you notice they took it out of the Olympics, too, this last time.
Nope.
I think that's weird.
Shocking.
There used to be sports in the Olympics.
Didn't notice that.
The Olympics is nothing but sports.
So it was just physical feats.
Physical feats.
Those are sports.
No, sports are team games.
Are you saying?
Track is not a sport.
It is a physical feat.
Well, they have spent way too much time together.
Yes.
On with the review.
Oh my goodness. First up for the main characters, we have Mihashi. He is a pitcher that has transferred to a new high school, it's all a freshman year high school. Not a freshman year high school, but he goes to the high school as a freshman. And he loves baseball and has played it for several years since he's been a little kid. He leaves his old school because he sees himself as a failure at pitching, and all the other players around him can hit his pitchers. His own teammates pretty much hate him for because of that reason.
Basically, he thinks he sucks.
But true.
He got 100% accuracy.
And the catcher for the new high school is Abe.
Yep.
And to explain first, we watched the dub version, and Chris will be chiming in and Matt a little bit with the sub version. But Abby is the catcher. He's very confident in handling his baseball skills.
No, that's better.
Okay.
There you go.
Hey, I can hear.
Yeah, we watched a few flashback episodes explaining all that and Abby's stuff, too.
True. Some of the episodes do have the flashbacks to cover the time before everybody was in high school. The coach for this new high school, she's also brand new to the sport at this high school. And see if I can find the high school's name. I think it's Mihoshi.
Yeah.
And one of the things that kind of confused me.
Sorry. One of the things that confused me was it wasn't clear that she was the coach in the subtitled version.
Oh, really?
In the subtitled version, they called her, I think they called her the manager or something like that.
No, the manager was the high school.
The freshman girl.
Girl.
Would have been the manager.
Or at least the student manager.
So the lady was the manager.
Right.
Well, she was the coach.
She was the head coach. And then they had the assistant, which was the guy.
You talking about the sponsor? That's the guy? That's who you're
talking
about,
right? I was talking, I don't know.
The guy that teaches them all the meditation stuff?
The chick with red hair.
But the one coach is Maria. I do not know how to say this.
Logan, you're going to distort it.
Well, this is how it sounds pronounced, but it's Maria Momobe. And she is a very scary person to the boys. She's basically, you know, to get their attention because they pretty much look down at the women and say they can't play baseball. She kind of proves it to them by...
She hits a fly ball like straight up or something and then...
And then she squeezes some orange juices and into some glasses and tells them to drink it.
So, I was going, ew.
One person among those...
That's sanitary.
One or two people among those team that did not feel, we're going to lose...
I don't know, but if I saw a lady squeezing oranges like she was, I'd be intimidated too.
Oh, yeah.
True. She's very intimidated. She's
intense.
She knows what she's doing, though, within the dubbed version.
She's intense.
One of the other players that's fun is Sakaguchi. He's an infielder, and he's just hyperactive. He's just all over the place.
Is that the batter?
He's the cleanup batter.
He's the batter. Okay.
And then the captain for the team is Tachima.
He's so negative.
No, excuse me. My bad. Tachima is the hyperactive one.
Ah.
He's the one that's the cleanup hitter. Mm-hmm. I think Sakaguchi, I think he's the captain.
He is so negative.
And Tachima looked kind of like Abe, except for more messy and hyperactive, correct?
He was long.
You know what?
I can't keep
it in the industry. He was tall and leaner.
Oh, that's not the person I was talking about.
Evidently not.
No, the hyperactive guy.
He's talking about the cleanup.
The hyperactive guy, he was kind of short, had scroungy hair.
He was tall and lean.
No, that was the captain.
Same with the batter.
No, the hyperactive one was a third baseman.
I know. I thought he was a little
bit hyperactive
taller.
One was
you know
real
what?
Short.
That, was if that doesn't tell you how him. Names are culturally sort of instilled into people. Because if their names were like Scott, Chris, Matt, April, Logan, or Richard.
We wouldn't debate it.
Exactly.
How tall are they?
Everybody would be
confused on who was
here. Everybody would have these characters straight. But
we would still be completely lost. Don't worry about it.
Well, they used to do that in the 90s and 2000s.
They gave them English names?
They would
names?
Give them English names when they brought them overseas.
I think that
and did
just,
the dubs.
I don't like that.
And I think it was with Yu-Gi-Oh! They started that
Anzu
point keeping the Japanese names more often.
Oh, no, Yu-Gi-Oh! Didn't.
To a degree.
It got, yeah, it was pretty English, but it was more
It was
Japanese
right around that time,
shows.
Though, that when they were bringing stuff over, especially the stuff.
Changing the names.
Right. The stuff that was getting on TV, I think it was Full Metal. It was probably the first one that the Elric brothers, but they had pretty much European names to begin with anyway.
Yeah.
And then it just seemed like then all of a sudden it's like it became we have a big enough base. They know these people. They're used to the unusual names that might not be as prevalent in America. And we do. And we just, you know, we just go on and go with the movie or the TV series.
Leech pretty much kept the Japanese name. Then they mixed Spanish in there.
Do they? Okay? Well,
yeah, the Arrancar means rip or tear or something in Spanish.
Okay.
Espada is sword. Then the numerals, obviously.
Okay, I didn't realize.
Well, there's. I mean, the English language is pretty eclectic. There are lots of words that are in other languages. So.
Ninja.
And I knew that. I took German in college, and there was a bunch of words that's
similar.
Why, because it was easy.
German was easy.
Yes.
I wasn't my best subject,
German's
but
easy.
I got through it.
It's easier it that way. Than Spanish.
The team, they are pretty much an all-freshman team, and they go up against all of the other teams. And the gist of the series revolves around them practicing, going to one practice game that they win, and then they practice a little bit more. They have to get the two main characters. Let me go back
Baba.
To the name. No, he's fine with his grades.
He's the main
Mahashi
character.
And Tachima are fell in their classes, so they all get together and get their grades back up so they can still
stupid.
Play. And then right after that, from almost midway through the second disc, because this is 3 discs long, the version we have. No.
There was 2 practice games.
But it was almost like they go into the summer tournament almost halfway through the series, and that takes up the rest of the series.
No. It was just
there were
2
practice
games.
I didn't get that far.
No, there weren't.
One against Mihoshi's old team and one against Abe's old team, I think, anyways.
Well, there might have been.
Yeah, that or the Abe's old team was the prelims. Which I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. But yeah.
No, I think you're talking about because they went to go see another baseball game that had one of Abe's.
Oh.
Old.
Yeah, that was it.
That's
that was
it.
It.
Yeah. They went to watch it, but they weren't in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the big group thing, they either fought the
I didn't get
strongest
I didn't get that far into
or
it.
The Abe's old team. I'm not sure which.
No, they went and saw Abe's old team.
It wasn't his old
I was talking about the final game.
That was not against Abe's old
and
team.
And it wasn't his old team. It was just
it was just the pitcher was from the team.
Yeah, it was just an old teammate on that team.
It was either a pitcher or catcher.
The reason pitcher. We didn't get into it was because we watched it on the web. We didn't have the disc.
Losers. So. Watching it on the web.
Well, hoarders.
Yeah.
Hoarder
still has it at the house. She won't give it up yet.
We watched High School of the Dead on web.
But this is one of those where the tournament that they enter into, the summer tournament, has 170 teams participating.
Like, I remember them. They
so
were,
how long would that tournament
no,
be?
No, listen.
Yeah.
They were in an auditorium. And, like, they had this stage up there, and they had a board that stretched all along the stage with all of the names in
it
a bracket.
Was long.
Oh, my gosh.
And They faced a team that was real high up there, didn't they?
They're number one.
Yeah, they tell Hachi, the team captains, have to draw their lots. They go up there and says, draw these first because we want to get them over with because it was a better team. And he goes, no, we want a lower seed. He goes up there and draws. And it was the winner from the last year's tournament.
It was the number one ranked seed that they had to go up against. I'm like, oh my God. And it was funny because...
Did they win or not? I think they did. But
yeah?
Yeah. Thought so.
Spoilers.
Heck, spoiler. This is a review. You're supposed to watch this before you listen to this.
Well, not everybody does.
I know. They just don't go
Who
by the rules.
Who cares?
Don't go by the rules.
April, these are more like but ads for the thing.
It's one kinda. Of those where... kind of like where we talked about Yu-Gi-Oh! Earlier. They're kind of the minutia stuff with the card games. This is you're following this batter or this inning throughout the episode and possibly into the next episode. So the ending of the series
is the end of that one game.
Is the end of their first game in the tournament.
Holy cow.
So do you know how many
And then the very last episode is about a different team entirely. It's
about his cousin's team that they'll have to play. But it's they did that because that's the team they have to play next.
Ah, didn't realize that. Okay.
Yes.
So and it seems kind of an ambitious series since there's 170 teams.
Yeah, if they
they're going to cover each game.
Yeah, if they follow this pattern, do you know how many seasons there will be?
Might get a little bored. Might run out of storyline.
Yeah,
well, they actually got April interested in the baseball, though.
Yeah, I learned what like a curveball was and like
a sinker,
a
slider,
forker,
the
floater,
knuckleball.
Yeah, that's where I learned
the
baseball.
Sorry,
stuff.
I'm only familiar with the Terminator.
The Terminator, the old number one, the Terminator.
And
fastball.
If you can hit it, you can name it.
I know the home base is actually a grid. That you should have to see to throw it accurately.
No, not, three. No.
They've split it up in a grid.
He did. He has amazing control as a pitcher.
I know. And they said usually they just do it in...
it's usually in four sections.
Yeah, in a four section. He has it in nine sections.
And he has it in nine. Usually it's four. It's usually upper
yeah,
right,
that's what they
up left.
Because they were there like helping them study and then they went outside and Abba's all like, holy crap, it's nine sections, not four.
Yeah, it's usually four sections. So and if they're going to throw an inside curveball.
And I think it's funny because...
Give him a few years and he'll have 25 sections up there.
I think it's funny because like all the batters want to get the fastest pitches they can get and this pitcher is the slowest person ever. Like, his pitches are so slow. And
well,
when
you start studying baseball a little bit, you'll see it. What they'll do is they'll throw, like, you know, a curveball, maybe a fastball, because it's fast. And then they'll throw a changeup, which is quite a bit slower than a fastball.
Yeah, but his were slower than those quite a bit
yeah,
slower.
Yeah, I know. His were really slow. So a normal pitcher... You know, we'll throw a combination of pitches and to keep them guessing, where he could throw a strike every time.
Because people
but could
weren't
move
expecting
it slightly,
it.
And really, they couldn't right. adjust to where his pitch yeah. was going to be.
And I think, and
no,
Abba explained
he had
it.
That one trick, the floaty thing. His old team could hit everyone, and that's why they thought he would
yeah.
suck.
Because they got used to it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was about to say that Abba explained, like, because of his thoughts, you know, but. He explained that his old team thought he was horrible because they could always hit it, and that the other teams were so unused to having that slow a pitch that their timing was off, and then they couldn't figure out what he was throwing.
Well, that's what
there
the,
was something
the catcher
about
was doing.
It floating, not sure.
Well,
but
his fastball was so slow
that
compared to a normal fastball that his fastball looked like it was floating. Towards the plate.
I think that'd be cool.
Even yeah. though it wasn't, and that's because they were used to looking at a fastball. That was, you know, a fastball's what?
Like they
90 miles an hour.
Didn't know what a fastball
usually.
Was.
But the main gist of this is Abe giving. Oh god, his name again.
It's basically
the main gist is Abe giving Mihashi the confidence in what he's doing because he's so, you know. Against himself, he has no confidence at all.
Oh man, this kid's a wimp.
To a detriment sometimes to the show.
I love
him. Some of the ways they show his uncomfortableness and he gets scared so easy.
I think they went a little overboard.
It goes a little overboard, which they kind of use as comedic elements, but it kind of hurt the show for me at times.
I thought it just made it
really
funny.
He's a little too wimpy at times. He was.
And then there are people that will
kick him in the butt and
well,
just tell him to get over it.
I wasn't going to go there, but when Abe and Mihashi are talking, they showed in such a way that a lot of people are pulling those extracts, and when they're doing animated music videos of it, they're kind of making it look like
it's almost
love.
Like a bromance. Mm. Yeah, it's a bromance.
Yeah, bromance. I thought of that.
So those scenes are kind of like, and Abe's kind of like, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, but he needs the confidence. So he's kind of like patting him on the back or grabbing his hand. Well, the teacher himself with them. You mentioned the teacher with the.
Grabs his shoulder and says, give
what
him
is that
confidence.
Meditation.
Meditations. And he's always, take your hands, you know, let's meditate.
I think that's
like
so
he was a stoner when he was growing up.
But
he smoked a little bit too much there, dude.
But that actually worked. That actually helped them calm down and pressure situations.
No, it's actually all stuff that they actually
stoner, he was
use.
A psychologist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't
yeah,
know.
Psychologist,
I think
maybe.
I think that's mm-hmm. pretty cool. He's a science teacher.
Yeah, psychologist.
At the school.
You're kind of quiet, Chris. You're gonna chime
just,
in about the...
I was just waiting when Richard was going to interject. That's all.
Well, I didn't know if Chris was going to chime in about the dub version. If Chris is going to chime in about the dub version being different than the...
Oh, my God, I forgot to masturbate!
You want to bring up that line so bad.
Okay. Do you guys know where that comes from in that show?
No,
did you?
They don't.
What? They don't know.
What
okay,
there?
Hit the power button on the side. The screen went on. Other top.
This is at the beginning,
right
so
there.
You can edit all this stuff out. Anyway, did you guys watch the American dubbed version, right? Or the English dubbed version? Okay, you have to go back and watch that with the subtitles. Oh my Lord! You're just
if Chris hadn't said it, I wouldn't have known. Because I was watching the English dubbed, not the subtitled one.
So
and Chris goes, what? And he, yeah. Was like, whoa.
Well, see, this goes back. In college, I knew a guy from Qatar. He was an exchange student at our college. And he introduced me to, he's the person who actually introduced me to Japanese anime. Anime. And I won't mention the one that he first showed me. Which did you look that up to see if?
Not yet. I know which one you're talking about.
Okay,
we've seen a preview.
But anyway, it was all in English subtitle. So now when I watch Japanese anime, it just feels weird to listen to it in English because the voices are totally different. They sound more high pitched.
American.
No. The Japanese when they use the real Japanese
voices,
you kind of,
yeah.
I guess it brings you more into the culture. That's why I listen to it. So from then on, I watched it all with subtitles.
I just
but,
don't like putting that much effort.
So
into
I watched,
watching it.
I watched up to about the third or fourth episode of Big Wind Up, and I just died laughing. And it was at work, so everybody's like, "What's he laughing at?" And I just had to get up. I'm like, Matt, you gotta watch this.
And I was watching the English dubbed, and I was like, "What? No, he didn't say that." Chris is like, "What?" So I had to go back and then watch the subtitled one. What? Oh yeah, he did. Oh yeah, wow.
So it's kind of like ghost stories,
probably.
So just translated differently.
Oh no, no, they totally. It. Changed no, the whole scene and everything was still there.
Just rescripted the
like
words.
They
stories.
Just changed it from one thing to going to the bathroom.
Right. They changed
and
it
like,
from
why is
oh
gonna
my god, I forgot to masturbate to oh my god, I forgot to go to the bathroom and we're like
and
that, that's not as funny.
I forgot to go to the bathroom and if I don't at least once a week it'll explode. And I went, okay, yeah, that makes no sense. What?
Yeah.
Oh well. We usually watch them dub. There's a debate on what you should watch them as.
There's too much effort in reading
ghost
it, and then you don't.
It's actually kind of the opposite.
Some of them are really fast. Some of them
Japanese
you just kind of.
English dub type of ghost stories is about
is
maybe archer level or higher in the maturity.
Oh, yeah.
Archer.
Maybe we ought to do ghost stories at some point.
I love ghost stories.
You have to.
Don't
forget to use the third subtitles as a reference point, because that's the one that's kind of like the normal. That would be what.
They have two sets of subtitles.
Okay, why don't we
three?
I think it helps in the debate.
Well, I will mention that there is Chris watched the subtitled. You watched the dubbed. I watched the dubbed. There are definitely differences in the what's said.
And that I think,
and we leave it with.
I don't think it's necessarily what was said that changes the story, but the culture of how it's said.
Might be a little bit on that. Well, I just want to warn people that there may be stuff in that that's not suitable for younger children to watch,
versus
older children.
If we discuss the age of age appropriateness of this, it won't be children.
Oh no! I think
if you're watching the dubbed
one, it's for everyone. The dubbed one is for everyone. No, even
but is it because it's been Americanized? Yeah. There's a word.
Well, mm-hmm. it might be, and well that's the thing. I think any child that plays baseball that's
now we can debate.
8, 9, 10 years old
they're gonna love
would
it.
Probably enjoy it.
Right.
But I would definitely get them the dubbed version versus the subtitled version.
I don't think they'll
The subtitles hard to read.
You got to be quick.
But
if you're used to watching subtitled anime anyway, you're going to be good at it anyway.
True.
But also the content, like how that difference in that one scene would also make the parents feel more comfortable letting their kid watch it.
And the difference
I would still say
the subbed and dubbed of this has inspired us to do ghost stories.
Well, possibly.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We're going to do ghost stories.
Don't give it away.
So
hey, we do that anyways.
So let the debate start. Subtitles or dub?
Which is a big debate within the fan
community.
It's a big
debate anyway.
Honestly,
I don't want
to
debate
because
it.
To me, the culture plays a huge part in story content. This is telling us a story through animation. So if you're going to watch the Americanized version, then why go out and buy anime?
Yeah.
Because they draw much better than us.
True.
Hello.
What you got, Logan?
You watched the dubbed with the subtitles running.
No, because then that'll just confuse you.
Honestly,
oh my lord.
It just makes it so much funnier.
No, listen, okay. I think if you know enough about the Japanese culture, then you don't have to have it subtitled to understand that this is a completely different culture. Because they have it in their houses, in the way they have their schools, and the way they act,
their
even with breaks
and stuff.
Even with their English language, you can still tell it's a different culture. And
why didn't they just tell the story in English then?
Because we're not.
Because they're Japanese.
To avoid the rating, basically.
But and then I believe subtitles. I have troubles getting the picture in too.
Well, not everybody can read as fast as me,
or as fast as Logan.
And I have to admit, there are some that I have. It's like,
You're either
watching this. For me, I'm a slower reader. For me, I'm either watching the screen up here and I'm missing the subtitles,
or I'm reading the subtitles
and missing the action.
Yeah, it's like
here
I like
is the way to prevent that.
I'm a lazy anime fan.
I just listen to
the English dubs.
I was
going to
say that. I was going to get to
right
my point. Was is that it's just the dub version or for lazy people?
Yep.
Heck yeah.
Just use the pause button.
Just
there
use
you
the
go.
Pause
See,
button.
Man, you know what? In some of those, you would be pausing and unpausing every half second.
Yeah.
Some
and
of those, it was unbelievably hard to read.
If you're gonna listen to it in the Japanese language, anyways, why don't you just be and
just learn Japanese?
A go-getter
Somehow.
And learn Japanese.
Some fans have, and they can.
And you could probably learn Japanese off watching.
That's what I
possible.
Think. Like you could learn it.
Doesn't your Spanish teacher do that to a degree? He uses those.
Not very often.
But
sometimes
occasionally he'll bring in a movie
in Spanish with English subtitles, but not very often.
Crap! I would get so confused.
Oh man!
I don't understand Uno. Hey!
I got that one.
Hey, do you know what Primera means?
No.
Hopefully nothing.
Have you watched or read? Hey, have you watched or read Bleach?
No. Yes, I've watched it.
Have you gotten to Espada?
No, I don't think we have.
What?
You're ahead of us.
No idea.
Primera,
I'm
segunda,
lost.
Tercera.
Okay, I don't even take Spanish this year. I'm like putting that off as much as I can. Because I know I'm going to fail it.
That could actually be fairly
I wish I had taken
even if you have no
Spanish
clue at all about Spanish.
Honestly,
can we get back on track?
Yes.
German is easier than Spanish.
German is easier than Spanish, but I wish I had taken Spanish because it would have
helped a lot.
You got a choice?
Honestly.
In college.
But one of the things with the fandom, that some of them are learning Japanese. Logan would like to. Some of the colleges he's looking at, he kind of gets a little disappointed because they don't have a Japanese center where they can actually learn Japanese.
But if you can, a lot of colleges will do independent studies if you want to do that.
I would say, like, I have a classmate who's learning Japanese and wants to go over there. Yeah, and he wants to.
And we've had a couple of boys in the past that have learned Japanese on their own. And so there.
It depends on how intense you are about it. Like, if you're a hardcore anime fan, you know.
Usually those classes aren't too popular, so basically they just wait for a demand for it. And depending on how big the demand is, they'll either create a class or an independent study.
And to get back with some of the debates about whether it's cultural differences, some of it is. But like April said, they try to leave some of that in as well. Like when they're doing prices, I think they still say yen.
And
you know, thousands of yen it is.
A
lot of the animation itself, like she said, well,
like
it
the
places
houses,
your back
the
within
schools,
the culture.
The uniforms.
You know, it's pretty much
yeah, there. All that had Japanese writing.
True.
Some of it. So I couldn't tell you what it said.
Yeah, like the street signs, if they're walking around, are in Japanese.
That surprises me because in some Americanized anime, they will change the name of the signs so that people can read them.
See, I don't like that, though.
They haven't been doing that.
Not a lot.
Same with the name.
Or they will occasionally just subtitle the sign.
Yeah, I've seen them do that, too.
It's quicker to do it that way.
But usually if there's a sign and it has the subtitle underneath of what it translates to, they usually put it in how you pronounce it in Japanese. I've noticed.
Really?
Instead of what the actual English term, they put
it just depends on
because I haven't paid that much attention.
The German. Or not the German, the Japanese.
Just depends on what you watch.
She's got German on the brain now.
Oh, my gosh.
And there are some anime that are based in foreign countries. Gunslinger Girl is based in Italy.
Antalya is based everywhere.
A whole bunch of them.
Italy wasn't Japanese animation.
What was it? Le Cavalier? That
some places webcomic.
French? Le Chevalier?
Le Chevalier d'Ion?
Yeah.
Chevrolet?
Le Chevalier de Lyon.
Sounds like you're saying Le Chevrolet.
Did it have an L or not on that last bit?
Does it not?
Yeah, it's French.
So they're
either France or Rome.
Logan,
sure
say
which.
The title again.
Le Chevalier de Lyon.
Le Chevrolet.
Le Chevalier.
Le Chevrolet.
Okay.
Night, not car.
Let's got it back onto the.
So some of them are, they kind of move around the countries as well, so it's not always set in Japan, so that's when they try to emulate other cultures more than the Japanese culture. But the companies, we kind of talked about this. Logan kind of alluded to it with ghost stories. The companies in America, when we were mentioning they switched out some of the stuff.
Ghost stories is an extreme of
ghost
this.
Stories is extreme where they rewrote the whole script for the American dub.
Yeah.
It's a completely different show. It's a comedy with
but it's
the American
funny as crap,
dub,
so it doesn't bother
where
me.
It's more of a serious show.
It's a drama.
It's more of a, but really? It's about little kids, like in sixth grade.
Middle school, yeah.
Yeah. Middle,
sixth,
it's like
seventh? Middle or high school.
Like
not
either
high school. Way, they're little kids.
No, it'll be a grade schooler and an upper classman for middle school, like seventh or eighth grade.
It was somewhere in there, but that's where they did the extreme, where instead of just changing some of the script, they did the whole script. And some American companies will do that for their market. Like we were discussing, they did this kind of to get the ratings a little lower for the dubbed version.
This is the opposite.
For the ghost stories.
They went from a serious ghost type to a perverted comedy ghost type.
I think it's
and
funny.
It's on par with some Archer style.
I think it's funny because they've got like they're in middle school, so I can see them saying all this stuff. But then she's got a little brother who's like,
and
I would say third or second grade,
or not,
and he's saying all this
understand.
Crap. I'm like, I love
hey,
this show.
Most of the time,
okay.
You can't
off,
understand
off ghost
them.
Stories. So, back onto
so
big
wind up. You know, the allowance that they take with changing scripts is not unusual in the industry either to get that marketplace. And we were discussing age level. If it's the English dub, I would say
all age.
all age, but
kids, especially in baseball, softball.
Do you know of any American anime that has been scripted differently for other culture, other countries, other markets?
Sure, I haven't been because our anime sucks.
Quite true. I didn't say that. True.
Not that I'm aware of.
And you can get a hold of April at
just send those to her. At
yeah, if there's someone out there, exactly. If there's someone out there who wants to prove us wrong, prove April wrong.
You know what?
If we would awesome American anime. That would be awesome.
Yeah, we'd love to review an awesome one of those.
Send it our way. But there's none right now. So
like Archer.
But if they're doing the subtitles, I would probably. You guys said probably. What would you guys say, since you're the ones who saw it?
Minimum high schoolish. I mean,
I would say teenager.
Yeah. So if libraries
with the
13
subtitles?
Or older,
if libraries pick these up, and we have it in our library.
Yeah, be careful which one they pick up.
Well, it's the same.
They have settings.
That's what I mean, as you can watch the dubbed and the subbed at the same time.
Okay.
So
did not know that.
So you might have to do a little bit of education with the parents. This is one of those aspects where you try to know your library as much as you can. You know, give a parent a little bit of forewarning.
So
they would appreciate it. And
don't throw it in the kid tween section or whatever, and then
if you see that,
have them come back and go.
Well, I think you can put it in the teenage section, and then when they come to check it out, just like, hey, when you watch this.
And we do that with even our graphic novels. We have it in all of our graphic novels because our teen section is so small. We have some in our children's, but then it goes straight to the adult collection because some of the teen ones, you know, even Batman and Superman can get pretty heavily themed, and they have more violence, and sometimes the content, you know, you don't see anything, but you know what's happening, you know, if two characters are in bed. Mm. So when kids start going over to that side, we warn the parents, you know, think PG-13 once you get here. There might be some language, there might be some nudity, there might be some content.
Honestly, I think once you get to the our manga shelf, it's like a big guess and check. Like, like, hey, I don't know what you're going to pull, so it's the luck of the draw.
Some of them have just about nothing about that type of stuff.
But there is.
They grew up with them.
And make one quick last point.
Be able to find it.
Real fast, April, go ahead, and then I'll make one last point, and then we can move on.
Because, like, I want, like, they shouldn't, like, at our library, they should know that you need to, like, flip through it before you actually go and check it out. Because I remember being bored at the library once and pulling one. And it had, like, it wasn't, like, really serious, but it had some nudity in it. And I think I was, like, fifth grade. Like, it didn't bother me a lot, but, you know, it's just, like.
Well, I know you guys read Dragon Ball before I read it.
I don't
they had some
that.
Topless scenes in it, which would surprise parents.
The very first episode of the cartoon series.
Yeah. In Japanese.
The actual Japanese
the
version.
The only thing that's really supposed to be centered is below the belt.
True.
They don't really care about the...
For at the chicks? Time, at the time, Goku
no,
was
Japan
only like
doesn't really care about
five
that
or
part.
Six.
Yeah, Dragon Ball.
But I don't read Dragon Ball.
That's fine. Like, but it's similar. But the last point for libraries to kind of think about what we do in our library and other libraries can do, we have cartoons for kids in their section, just like we have the graphic novels. And then I've separated out the animation and the anime that is for more mature, you know, teenagers into their own section. And I've put some of the recent the Batmans and stuff that's come out from Warner Brothers because they're a little bit more violent and a little bit more heavily themed. And we put those in that individual section. And then if they go into the R ratings, which, you know, they don't necessarily have it on there, but you would consider R, we put those right within the adult regular movies. Like we have a couple of Resident Evil's anime. They're heavily violent. You know, there was Deadfall or Dead Space.
Dead Space.
Dead Space has a couple of enemies, and they have some nudity in them. So, you know, I just put those into the adult collection. So we try to divide it up, and that might be what other libraries might want to try to do. So if you're unfamiliar with it, you might want to view it or read it first to make a determination where you want to put it on the shelf.
And good advice. We are the lucky ones that get to do such.
True.
I thought we just looked at it to make sure it all worked.
Exactly. And in doing that, we get to read and watch it.
So that's what Richard does in his office all day.
But see, it's kind of
like
what
we do at home.
It's a bittersweet thing kidding. Because that means we don't have an excuse to go to the theater. Because we know we're going to get it at some point.
Yeah.
It'll just be like 3 months after it comes out and nobody cares.
All right, and that's going to do it for Big Windup. Unless Chris, Matt, you guys, nope. Logan, and April, any other things on Big Windup?
For sure, we're done.
Chris was over there sleeping just like everybody does during a baseball game. So I think we watch the first part, sleep in the middle, wake up enough to watch the last part.
I
kind of do that with football, too.
Yeah, that was football. Now it's Chris's turn.
For what?
Your review.
Yes, before we get started, I'd like to say thank you to musicalley.com for the intro and outro that we have to this evening for this episode. They are at musicalley.com, yes. And you can go there and look at a variety of different types of music. They do have a search feature. Type in what you're interested in. They have a keyword search as well. If you find something you're interested for, it's 99 cents a song. Check it out. You might find something you like. And as we continue on, it is, as Matt said earlier, Chris's turn with Prelude to Foundation.
Okay, first I have to tell you why I decided that I wanted to do this. I was searching around Slashdot one day, and if you don't know, Slashdot is a sort of technology news website. And I came across this article saying that WikiLeaks just got done doing a data dump on some classified material that was put on their website. So why is that important? Well, some researchers took that data and started making psychohistory predictions. They had over 77,000 pieces of data, incidents that were reported, and they took all that data, made some simple equations out of it, and said they can now predict behavior in Afghanistan.
What?
Okay.
Okay.
So
what am I talking about?
Psychohistory.
This is an Isaac Asimov book, and if you're not familiar with Isaac Asimov,
right there.
You need to go back and listen to iRobot, which is nothing like the movie. Yeah.
True.
So,
and the last chapter is kind of like this one.
Okay, so, I have a question. Wait, does that mean behavior as the people?
Societal behavior, yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Society as a whole.
This is
violence, peace, war.
Thing.
Can they predict America's?
Probably. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Ooh.
It's just, you can't go
do
down
that.
To the individual.
And I can't remember where I saw, I did see an article that says in America in 2020 is supposed to be a heavily violent year.
I was going
to
say we're going to be killing everyone.
In 2020. So everybody get your guns together.
I'm going to be alive in 2020.
It doesn't matter. The world's going to end in December, so we don't have to worry about 2020.
Yeah.
So, okay.
We'll see if this episode gets out before then.
If we
Friday the 13th on the 13th year.
Yeah, why are we even doing this episode? The world's going to end.
Isn't there a theory, like an ancient thing that says if we find all the crystal skulls, we can stop it?
Yeah, some people have like put that out there.
I think that's kind of like stupid because some of those things are either broken. Like, seriously, how does those survive? Like, all of them?
Well, only, what, two or three have been found?
Yeah, or we don't know where to look or get to them. Like,
exactly.
It's like, okay. So basically, why'd you get to tell us that? We're screwed either way.
Major overhaul. Destroy the Earth.
Onward, Chris.
Try to save it.
Okay.
Foundation.
Hold on for 1 second. Okay. This Prelude to Foundation was actually written after Foundation and... What's the one after Foundation?
I want to say Foundation's Edge.
Foundation number two.
Yeah.
There's a series, but
yeah,
I
it's second a, it's p- it's part of a three-book series.
Foundation.
And this book was actually written almost 30 years after the first actual Foundation book that came out.
That's what happens with preludes.
Well, that's like...
They're never actually pre.
The Instruments series. Immortal Instruments. Like, they had the first series, and then they had the second series, which is about their parents.
Oh.
Yeah. And the way Chris has talked.
Clockwork Angel is that series is about their parents.
Star Wars has that.
Yeah, Star Wars is an example of that, too. With
we'll come later.
Spartacus.
Yeah.
So
another example of that happening.
Yeah.
So
it happens a lot.
To since Richard took up all the time talking about Big Wind Up.
Throw me under the bus here.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, so the main character in the book is Harry Seldon, and basically he is the mathematician that basically theorizes he could come up with the equation. He chooses not to for moral purposes, I guess. He doesn't feel like it would be a purpose in actually doing it.
There would be so astronomically impossible that why should he bother?
Right. So the Emperor of the Galactic Empire, Cleon the First, seeks him out.
Did you say the Klingon Empire?
Not and the Galactic Empire? Oh, it my
is,
gosh.
It is not Klingon. It is Cleon.
I know. I had to say that.
Basically seeks him out and asks him to create psychohistory, and he says no, and then Cleon lets Seldon go. But then people start, I'm going to say, meeting up with Seldon in his regular life, and they end up sort of persuading him to do things. You want to call it that? Influenced.
Yeah, he does not go back to his normal
life. By a reporter at that time, what he thinks is a reporter.
Is it Doors?
Yeah.
Peer pressure.
No,
so, Doors is the woman. Doors is the woman.
Doors was a historian.
Yeah, she's the woman.
Hummin.
There you go, Hummin.
Hummin catches him being attacked by two thugs and helps him out.
That sounds like you're trying to say Hummus.
And he destroys those thugs. And that's the only fight scene, pretty much anyways.
No, there's several.
Oh, there is one or two more. There's about three total fight
pretty
scenes
much one
in
or two
that
more.
Book.
So I'm gonna just breeze through this here. Okay, so Seldon meets this girl named Doors
at the university, which
they end up going to a city called Mycogen. And I was listening to a commercial on the radio for Mycogen seeds. I thought that was kind of funny because who could come up with that name? I'm sure it was borrowed.
That was fate.
So anyway, so they go to this civilization called I don't know if Mycogen was the first one, but they end up going there. Look, they end up searching for equations for his psychohistory.
They look for a supposed robot.
Well, they don't know they're looking for a robot until before they leave.
Yeah, they kind of it's halfway through they kind of find out there's a possibility of a robot.
And the reason why they go to Mycogen is because they have the oldest written history of 20,000+ years. And they find out that all their it's kind of a they don't want to be called a religious society, but they kind of are. Best example I could come up with as far as who they are, they would be offended if I called them a religious society.
And they are,
but they have this temple that they go worship at, but anyway, they are eventually led to believe that this society was built on the memories of a robot.
That really does sound like that one we reviewed about that big robot that was asking for the ultimate question.
Oh, iRobot.
That episode?
No, that's not iRobot.
That's
she's talking about
Hitchhiker's
Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Hitchhiker's Guide.
Doesn't
that
remind
okay.
you of that? Like, let's go worship all of, like, a robot.
Kinda. It kind
of
does.
Kinda. Deep thought.
But they get caught. They get caught, and...
And it turns out that they got caught because they led them there.
Right, that's where I was saying earlier with Hummin being an influence on what he does without actually dragging him, just kind of.
Oh, Hummin
basically
didn't mean for them to do that, really.
Or I think he did.
I think
no,
so too.
Hummin didn't. He did, but Hummin didn't.
Who's he?
Hummin's the actual personality, and I will say no more
know.
Of the matter.
You can read it either way. I think I agree with Chris on this one. I think in. He had that
I think
there.
Hummin put him on a path to figure out who he is.
Wait, who's the
Hummin
main
Hummin
did,
is.
He did.
Who's the main character?
Seldon.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
There's Seldon.
Harry Doors. Seldon.
I thought you were then talking about a Hummin, like this main character. This is a confusing
then
book
the
right now.
There's three sets of Hummin.
So
it wasn't him, it
no
was
more.
Him.
He has three sets.
Right. That's and it. There they did there was and I can't remember it.
Oh.
There was a couple of things that they mentioned that towards the end of that of their trip to mycogen that he says, oh, I'm going to have to remember that for my equation, but I can't remember what it was. But anyway, so these are fact-finding missions for him to find
his equation. He moves on whenever something disastrous happens. Clues.
Yeah. So
Bones, that book where they're whatever grandma dies or something, and gotta go find all the stuff for the
series of unfortunate events.
No,
39 clues.
Yes,
I haven't read that one. So
neither have I. I think it's stupid, but it's kind of what it reminds me of. Works too.
Okay, so
it's much better actually, because it ends up in bad stuff happening each time, and they have to move on too.
True, exactly in a sense.
Selden.
Okay, so after they get caught from mycogen, they flee to somewhere else, and I can't remember the name of
the place sector. With the boilers.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Where in the basement of the school?
I can't remember what that was called. Where they find a budding mathematician. Yeah, but I can't remember what that section was
There's
called.
A lot of places with boilers.
No. This is where the planet gets its main energy from.
Right. Yeah. Is it the core? They're planet jumping, by the way. It's not.
Oh, thank
It's
you.
Not like they're just going from country to country.
Yeah, they are.
They're going.
They're on the same planet.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
These are all districts in the main planet of their huge galaxy.
Is this the planet Earth?
No.
Thank you.
Or at least not as far as we know.
Earth doesn't exist then.
Thank you.
But they did discuss it.
Yeah.
Well,
Earth,
that's
Terra Gaia.
I wonder if they're purple.
Ah, Aurora is the other one they use.
Yeah, Aurora is
Earth and Aurora. The robot world. And
it's almost like Battlestar Galactica, where they mention Earth is so far in their past, because that is one of the aspects. It's
they
a
used
myth
to have only one world.
Well, that makes me feel old.
So, anyway, they find out that they need to go speak to this old lady, I guess. Is she an old lady? Yeah.
That's how I pictured it.
So... Mother Rita?
I think so.
Okay. So anyway, she
young random kid then.
Well, yeah, they meet up with him. He takes her. He takes Selden and Doris to her. And this is when she finds out, or this is when the main character Selden finds out that there's even more evidence of a robot involved with
the goings on.
Yeah.
And we will not speak the robot's name.
Right. And she
Voldemort.
And
no, it's Orochimaru.
Don't.
They're the same person.
So it's a really old robot. The robot's like 20,000 years old. And she says he still exists. And this is where I'm getting a little fuzzy. But anyway, you find out later who the robot is.
Yes.
At the end of the book.
That's why you got a little fuzzy. I was going to blame it on the old age.
Yeah.
You had to bring that up.
You're doing all right there?
Today's his birthday.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
That's why I said I had to blame
it
on the old
40?
Age.
Are you
40?
No, I'm not saying that on appearances. I'm just saying it so that I can go get you a cane.
Sure. So I can beat you with it.
Sorry, Chris, I had to bring that up. I was waiting for it.
Somebody.
You guys, we need to sing happy birthday right now.
No,
no,
that's okay.
No, we don't.
Oh, no.
No, we don't.
Okay.
We could sing it in Spanish.
So don't spoil the book. That makes him want to read the book.
I know what Feliz is, but I don't
but
know what
it's definitely an adult book, or would you give it...
No, it's an adult book. It's definitely an adult book.
It sounds too challenging for a child.
I mean, it's not... The situations in it aren't necessarily adult, but there's some concepts and some things you got to remember throughout the whole book while you're doing it.
So, not the rating, but the comprehension.
I would say maybe older high school.
Would it be a good book for a book project in an English class? Like
if
how
you can
they
get
use
through it that quick.
If
no.
I can get through
you could
it,
write
yeah, that'd be
your
a problem.
Essay. Your essay for this thing would be huge.
The size of the book.
slums area where they find the old gal.
Because it
they
talks
also
about
get
psychology,
the second fight,
society.
Second or third fight. Which
wait,
is
social
the last
norms.
One.
Wait,
there are a whole bunch of different concepts in there that.
How thick is this book?
Was it thick? 400 to 500 pages?
So is it like Harry Potter?
505 pages.
No.
No, I'm not saying the story.
Well,
I'm saying the thickness.
Print is smaller than what Harry Potter was, I think.
I don't care about
print.
So it's
print, bigger
like
than Harry Potter.
So it's quite a large book to read.
Yeah. It'd be,
maybe
like
older
like
high
you said,
school.
Maybe 11th, 12th grade. But even then, it'd
fight
be
the knives.
Whoa, hey, what?
Fight the knives.
What did you yell for?
Because you guys interrupted me and I was annoyed.
Well, okay. I didn't know you were talking.
Neither did I. I didn't hear a word.
Me neither.
Calm down. What do you want to say then?
And that brother planet were slums and they met the old gal. They had a battle right after that meeting with the old gal. Maybe that third or last or second one.
So we're back to the battles. He wants the battles in there.
So it's basically all...
It is a little slow, so when you get the battles in, get them in.
There's maybe three battles like in that whole book. And the main characters can destroy people in those battles, but they just don't happen.
That's because they have a moral compass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moral compass. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I think they get
they don't really want to kill anybody, per se. Because that was one of the aspects. They didn't want to kill anybody.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was one of those... Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I was getting back to where saying about
so
the... we were saying Adrian. When was the book printed?
November of 88.
Really? Oh, so it is... Old. That is quite old. That's not as...
Yeah. Foundation came out in 1953.
You should do like a modern
there's more than 30 years between these two books.
Yeah.
Would you classify it as sci-fi?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Because it does happen. It happens the year 12,076.
And that's a few calendars after this one.
And there's a robot in it?
But we're talking a different age, so it would have been, it's over 20,000 years, actually, between present day and when...
30.
Foundation starts. Well, because you got to remember how old the robot is.
It's probably over 3 million years, I think. I think it was 3 millennia.
A long time.
Yeah.
I don't know if
very long time in the future.
Oh, so millennia? 3,000 years?
Oh.
Yeah.
Millennium?
No, millennium is 1,000.
I remember, like Chris said, saying 20,000 because that was that first society.
I just think that it's been long enough for us to go to a different planet and live.
And he does.
We are living galactically, not planet.
And this is one that...
You live in Star Wars style.
Yeah.
Love the Star Wars.
But he ties this... With this book, he ties Foundation in with some of his earlier works.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically, iRobot was his...
Prelude to Prelude to Foundation.
Well, I was going to say... was where he got all his ideas for his future books. Mm-hmm. So those little short stories basically was what iRobot was, and it was his. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got to. I think iRobot was all about making the three rules. I think.
Yeah, and I think.
And once he made those three rules,
iRobot,
then he made those his stories.
I think
is the this
robot
the
in
same
the last,
Arthur.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I think the last chapter of iRobot, that robot is the same robot as in Foundation.
You guys should connect that because I thought they were completely
I don't know.
Different.
I haven't thought about that, but yeah,
I
it
don't
could
know.
Be.
It's possible, but I'm not sure.
I think it might be.
Interesting concept.
I would say it could be, but I
don't know
doubt
for
it.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. Oh.
And the robot's a mechanic.
But being Isaac, I can never say his name.
Isaac Asimov.
Most likely, he's pretty popular, I think, in the sci-fi.
Isaac Asimov.
Weird sci-fi, I think, is what he kind of writes.
That's all
strange,
sci-fi.
Different sci-fi.
This weird robo sci-fi.
This one reads more like
robot.
A.
That's a genre.
Yeah, robotics.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Okay.
Sci-fi technology.
Asimov is recognized as trying to relate his sci-fi as real life as possible.
Yep.
You know, if a spaceship's going to go out there, he's going to try to figure out how it would happen, not try to just say it happened and we have. Yeah. Warp drive or whatnot. He's going to say,
Star Trek.
We did all of this to make this happen. So
this
is where the robots come in, and it ties it pretty much all back together.
Like Wally.
It's interesting. So you say, well, we've said kind of adult.
I would say
maybe have it.
Oh, hey, I got
one. Promote it.
Do you think Doors was a robot?
Never confirmed, but I
think
it
is.
So. I think
it's
so.
Confirmed.
Have you? How?
It is. They literally state that she's a robot in that last.
No, he suspects it, but
he
never says
it.
That.
He never asked her.
Yeah, he never asked her.
Yeah, she does.
She never gave him a straight answer, though. The only thing.
Politician answer?
The only thing that I remember from it is when they kissed, she said she'd never been kissed like that before, and she wanted to be kissed again that for could the mean first anything. Time.
Right.
For herself, not for another person.
Oh.
Read the last five or so chapters.
I did.
Plainly states it.
No,
but
it
Logan,
does not.
That could be it.
For you, it did.
Yeah. Different perceptives, Logan. You got to think. Other people aren't as mindy
great
as
arguments.
You.
That's why I asked it.
Poor deluded fools.
I heard that.
But it's heavily suggested. To me, what I read of it, it's heavily suggested she is. But to me, it never did clearly state you're kind of left on
it's kind of like with...
Okay, read forward to Foundation if you want to know who the robot manipulator is. And it also, forward to Foundation, answers the question if Doors is a robot.
It kind, okay. of, it kind of reminds me of...
Forward to Foundation is the sequel, isn't it?
Yes.
With you guys saying that she could be a robot, but...
She is.
You think... You know she is.
And you will blank out that part, because that helps give away the robot's name.
Wait, sorry, yeah, well. I don't know the
but
name.
So
I can't blank it out.
Wait, you don't even remember the robot's
Listen,
name?
Listen,
I'm old.
It reminds me of...
You're only human.
It reminds me of Why? When me and Mom was watching Pretty Little Liars, and there was an episode, and they thought Ian killed Alice and all that. And Jason asked his old brother, asked... Spencer, who had accused him of it, did you kill Allison? And did he say yes? Like, because people can draw conclusion from so many different things when people didn't actually state that they did something or that they are something.
Four drawn conclusions. Okay, back to the book.
Hey, that was actually
my
relevant.
Review's done.
Yeah. So they if they don't have it, should they have it?
You know what?
This one, I would say yes, just to go along with iRobot.
Oh, the other ones. But if not, and they don't want to get it,
not
maybe,
that big a deal.
I'm pretty sure a lot of libraries will have it.
This ILO book is actually in a list that I looked up. This is one of many of the books you need to read before entering college,
and
especially good colleges like Yale, Stanford.
I know exactly the part where it confirms it, and I will tell you after the recording's finished.
Okay, you do that. We still got the book at home, so you can show me. You might be right. We're I don't good. Know, but to my recollection, I don't.
I know I'm right.
But definitely, if this was...
Look at that big head over there.
Really?
I can't
Usually
wait
he is, though. That's the hard part.
I can't wait till we get home and you're wrong.
No!
We'll see later. We might have to do a report back on that before when we record again. But no, if your library is interested in it, pick them up. The larger libraries will already have this. If you're a smaller library, we're at the point where we're having to decide what we keep and what we don't, because much is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start making some hard decisions because of space limitations. Mm-hmm. So do your best on what space you have. If you think you still have a need for it within your community, yes, keep it. But if you don't have sci-fi readers to a big extent and don't have the room, you might have to give it up and just go interlibrary loan and get it that way. But
that was my 2 cents. So
okay,
I gave like 5 cents.
But
of her. Yeah.
Okay, we're still
doing?
Recording.
That's why I'm so far away from.
We're still recording. I got to end the episode.
I know, but my ears are sore.
Your ears are sore.
I know.
Oh, God.
End the episode so we can say goodbye.
We would like to hear back from you, so how do we want to end this thing?
By saying bye?
No, we kind of left that. We kind of left that hanging, though. We never did finish up, I guess, just where I said go into library alone.
Yeah, we're done with the...
Okay.
And this one we actually did not spoil all the way to the end, so...
True.
There's a surprise ending for you.
It's just
okay.
One
let me
third
try
score.
To knock this out so we can take a break.
Yep.
Thank you all for listening. And if you are interested in sending us either comments, questions, or suggestions, please send them to admin@comicpoplibrary.com or suggestions@comicpoplibrary.com. We'd be interested in hearing from you, even if it's just to say hi to us. Mm-hmm. We'll say hi to you back. So
no,
please,
we won't. We're jerks. I'm just joking. We will.
Way to ruin it. God, he was doing good.
That was, yeah.
Oh, well, it's in there. So thanks for
joking.
Joining us again and this time around. And When we meet back up, we'll be doing Cabin in the Woods and the music album by Rizzle Kicks. What is it, April?
Stereotypical.
There we go. So we will check y'all out next time. Have a good one, and adios.
Bye-bye.
Bonjour.
No, that's hello.
Oh, bye.
Aloha. I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.